You're listening to the Book Club at 91.7 on WVXU and WMUB. Good morning. I'm Mark Purcell. On the phone with me is writer and journalist Sonia Purnell. Her new book is Clementine, The Life of Mrs. Winston Churchill. Sonia, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
I have to borrow a British term after I read Clementine. I was gobsmacked that I knew nothing about Mrs. Winston Churchill. As much as I knew about Winston Churchill, I knew nothing about Clementine and was fascinated by your accounts of her influence on the great leader. Why has she been overlooked all these years?
It's extraordinary, isn't it? When you think that she was the direct counterpart of Eleanor Roosevelt, still a very, very famous lady today, but Clementine has just retreated into historical obscurity. I think partly because she never demanded the limelight. She never really asked for it. I think partly because her husband became such a global legend that anyone in his sort of shadow disappeared to some extent. But nevertheless, it is really curious, and it is actually a little bit of a scandal because, quite frankly, she was unbelievably important, unbelievably influential. And many people, including Churchill's own chief of staff, General Ismay, concluded that he simply couldn't have done it without her. In fact, his direct quote was that without Clementine, the history of Winston Churchill and the history of the world would have been very different. Well, I think he would know. He was right there and saw what was going on.
Well, there's only been one other book about Clementine Churchill, and that was written by her daughter. This is, I saw in the materials, the first fully researched biography. Why has it taken so long for someone like you to bring Clementine to the spotlight?
Well, there was a book, you're right, 40 years ago, by her daughter Mary Soames, but that was more of a sort of chronicle, less of a biography, and didn't really look so much at the political aspect of things. I think that really it was going to always take a great deal of work. It took me 3 years, often doing 100-hour weeks, a lot of detective work, digging up files, digging up transcripts, finding people who work for her are still alive. Some of them had never really spoken about their experiences before. So I travelled widely in the US and in the UK and elsewhere to find out about her. It was an epic job, but, you know, it was worth it because, really, she did do an amazing job for all of us. And I was partly inspired by the American ambassador to Britain during the war, one Gil Weiland, and he wrote, funny enough, in 1947 that he hoped that one day someone somewhere would write a book giving Clementine Churchill her full due. And when I saw that, well, I thought that was an invitation or a challenge, and I just simply had to do it.
Well, introduce the folks to Clementine Churchill. She started out quite shy. She came from a broken home, but talk about Clementine's early days.
Yeah, she was a very fearful little girl and found it very difficult to make friends. She came from a broken home. Her parents were divorced. She was the granddaughter of a Scottish earl, and the family seat is a magnificent castle in the Scottish Highlands. But the money, the cash had long since gone, and her mother had very little money indeed. And in fact, Clementine on occasion had to ask for credit when buying food in the stores or in the markets. And this was something that deeply humiliated her, and she felt a fear of not having enough money really for the rest of her life. That never left her. And her mother was a bit of a party girl. She had up to 10 lovers on the go at once at various times in her life, and this didn't really leave her much time to look after Clementine. I think Clementine felt distinctly unloved, and her beloved elder sister died when she was only 16. This was Kitty, and I think after that she felt desperately lonely and was an insecure person. But, you know, Churchill was also an insecure person. He'd had an emotionally deprived childhood. His parents had been quite neglectful. And I think there was a bond between them that they both sought security and comfort from each other. And that marriage, sure, it was turbulent, but it lasted 57 years, and it was a real love match.
Mm-hmm. I'm speaking with Sonia Purnell. She is the author of Clementine, The Life of Mrs. Winston Churchill. You can learn more about it at wvxu.org. And I really enjoyed Winston and Clementine's relationship as it was beginning, because at the time he was being pursued by the prime minister's daughter, and people were real surprised when instead Winston chose Clementine to marry.
Well, that's right. He was being pursued by Violet Asquith, but he never really sort of he liked her intellectually, but it was never anything more than that. And he'd been pursuing other women, including Ethel Barrymore, Drew Barrymore's sort of great-great-great-aunt, I think she is, and they'd all been turning him down. You know, he wasn't a terribly good-looking chap. He didn't have much money, he didn't have a title, and he was obsessed with politics. Now, fortunately, he met Clementine, who was looking for someone who had a great intellect, who could spar with her intellectually, a very clever, if shy, woman. And when the two met, they immediately got on. But people did find that extraordinary, because she'd come from this sort of rackety background. She'd been making her own clothes. She'd been earning her own living, giving French lessons and sewing dresses. And there was a lot of scornful and quite unpleasant laughter behind her back. And she knew that was going on, and that hardly made her feel confident about things. But it did give her the drive, an extraordinary drive, to prove herself worthy of marrying Winston Churchill. And her whole life's work was helping him and his career from that day onwards.
You talk about in the book how many folks were struck by her presence when they first met Clementine, because she was, had something that Winston had too, but just differently. She was a very physical and loud person, right?
Yes, I mean, she had a really loud, infectious laugh. She used to throw her head back, and this sort of great, you know, burst of joy used to come out. But everyone I've talked to who met her talks about this laugh, and Churchill's laugh actually was quite a quiet chuckle by comparison. So hers was much, much louder. She was taller than him. She was more athletic than him. She was an excellent tennis player. You took her on the tennis court at your peril. She was extremely competitive, and when she became a bit too old to play tennis, she took up croquet and became equally good at that. And, you know, Churchill didn't take much physical exercise. He preferred his sort of brandy and cigars and intellectual pursuits. So she was a more sort of physical person than him. But I think a lot of people were surprised when they first met her, just what a force of nature she was. I mean, she wasn't the mousy, subservient wife you might expect. She was opinionated. She had quite a fierce temper if she thought that someone was, you know, saying something she disagreed with or something she thought was inappropriate. She was a formidable person, and I think that did surprise people when they met her.
You talk about her being Winston Churchill's most trusted confidant and strategic advisor, and she was his wife, but they had some epic rows over money and children, and their arguments were quite forceful. I mean, this is kind of outside the realm of just a marriage argument.
Yes, sometimes. I mean, over money particularly. As I said, she always worried about it. He always thought that something would come along. I mean, he didn't really have any family money either, and all the money they had, he earned from his pen, you know, which is really quite spectacular how well he did. But he loved his champagne, his dress shirts, his cigars, his holidays. He had a valet and a butler, and all this cost a whole heap of money. He wanted to live a Downton Abbey lifestyle, and they didn't have a Downton Abbey income. And so this used to upset her immensely sometimes when you know, tradesmen were asking for their money again and again. And one time she threw a plate of spinach at him, and I can report that she missed. It hit the wall and left a mark, but that's how furious she sometimes got with him. And staff that I've met remember hearing raised voices behind closed doors, often about money, sometimes about the children. And then Churchill would emerge out of the room, close the door behind him, and say, "I'm afraid Mrs. C is very angry with me today," and all the staff would sort of look at him sympathetically. But I make her sound like she wasn't a sympathetic person herself. She was. She was a very loving and kind person. She just did have a temper, but then so did he.
But she used, her courage and her strength when it came to building that relationship with the Roosevelts when they visited the United States. And the visit didn't come off well from Winston's perspective, but from Clementine's, she began to build a relationship with Eleanor Roosevelt and the Roosevelt's only daughter. And really, that kind of paved the way for the U.S. to come into World War II and help the Great Britain and the Allies in winning.
Well, the Churchills realized very early on that the only way that Britain was going to survive and eventually beat Nazi Germany was by bringing America on side and then ultimately into the war. They threw everything into persuading America to help. And I mean everything, including their daughter in law, Pamela Churchill, later Pamela Harriman, who had a series of affairs with key Americans. This was her patriotic duty. She fed information back and she fed the British line to them. So they did that. But also, yes, you're quite right to mention Clementine's hugely overlooked relationship with Eleanor Roosevelt. And when there were cracks in the Anglo-American alliance, and there were, you know, sometimes Churchill fell out with FDR and there were tensions. The two women would come together. They formed a real sort of a friendship, a mutual bond of trust and respect. They did broadcast together. They met quite frequently. And Eleanor Roosevelt inspired Clementine to push herself forward into public life. And she did that very much under Eleanor's influence. In fact, she gave her first solo press conference right here in the United States. And it's interesting that she did that because, you know, without that, she couldn't have done all sorts of things for Britain, including raising a great deal of money for Russia, which helped, you know, cement relations with Moscow as well. So Eleanor was this great influence, and they remained very friendly after the war. In fact, they remained correspondents, and they met each other right up until Eleanor's death in the 1960s. So that was a real friendship there.
Sonia Purnell has a new book out called Clementine, The Life of Mrs. Winston Churchill. It's available where books are sold. You can learn more about it at our website. And Sonia, in looking at all the research that went into this, you did, you mentioned Pamela Harriman and her files that you got to go through, some new material. Mm-hmm. You made visits to the U.S., of course, all over the U.K. You saw diaries and letters. You talked to Clementine's personal assistants. You got to tour the Churchill War Rooms and the residence. What struck you through all your research? What you figured was the gold nugget, the big treasure that you found in all that work you did?
I suppose it was to get the feeling that I got to know both of them personally. I got whole new insights into Churchill himself through looking at his marriage and how he utterly depended on his wife and how he was a human being. Of course, he's a legend, but he was also a human being with all the fears and insecurities that we have. So, in fact, of course, his achievements are all the more remarkable when you remember that. And I suppose the way that they worked together, the way that they gave everything to winning that war, I suppose one of the sweetest things I found was 3 years after the war, on the 40th anniversary of their wedding, so September 1948, he pushed this little note under her bedroom door. They always had separate bedrooms, by the way. And this little note said it thanked her for all the happiness that she'd given him in what he called a world of accident and storm. But he also said that she had made his life and any work that he had done possible. And I think it was just that recognition that they'd been this extraordinary partnership, perhaps one of the most important partnerships ever. They had given everything together, and eventually they had won the war with America against almost impossible odds. And I just think it's a very personal story, and it's one of love, it's one of trust, and it's one of great sacrifice on both sides.
Well, through your book, what do you hope for the future for the memories of Clementine Churchill?
I just hope that it helps sort of cement the Anglo-American alliance of today. There were these two couples, the Roosevelts and the Churchills. Personal chemistry between them was crucial. They both had this hideous, extraordinary, immense job of defeating Nazi Germany. And I just hope that we remember that we owe all four of them, FDR, Eleanor, Churchill and Clementine, a great debt of gratitude. I think Clementine's the one who's been ignored and overlooked until now, and I'm just hoping to give her a little bit of the credit and gratitude that she deserves.
Well, thanks for shining the spotlight on Clementine Churchill. Appreciate it.
That's a great pleasure.
Sonia Purnell. Her book is Clementine, The Life of Mrs. Winston Churchill. Learn more at WVXU.org. It's the book club at 91.7. You've been listening to The Book Club at 91.7. Technical director for the show is Rick Andrus. Producer is Kevin Reynolds. Assistant producer is Catherine Cunningham. Web guru is Jim Noland. And I'm Mark Purcell. On the next book club at 91.7, I'll talk to award-winning children's author and illustrator Chris Van Allsburg about his iconic holiday story, The Polar Express. This season marks the 30th anniversary of that holiday favorite. Homer Hickam shares his newest novel, Carrying Albert Home, a somewhat true story of a man, his wife, and her alligator. And local author Brian Forstner with his true crime book, Cold Serial, The Jack Strangler Murders. I hope you'll be here next Saturday for the book club at 91.7. Stay tuned for Weekend Edition next on WVXU.